Bridget and Cody. Comedians discussing obscure books with witty commentary. Odd books, bizarre books, awful books, oddball books, slightly racist, super racist. Get your fix from Cody and Runjit.
Welcome to Tomefoolery.
Tomefoolery.
How you doing, Runjit?
Excellent. How are you, Cody?
You know, I'm doing okay. Weather is not murdering me at the moment, so that's fun.
Yeah, today is beautiful, yeah. And it's the beauty of today is only matched by the beauty of your tie, sir.
Wow, just jumping right into it, aren't you? All right. No time for pleasantries. We have ties. All right. Yes, thank you, Runjit. I appreciate your not at all coached response to my ties. This is of course, a necktie from Vava Neckwear, which Runjit, I'm sure you're aware of, is our sponsor.
Oh.
Yes.
What a coincidence.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I try to wear it every time we record. Yes, you can find this tie and plenty of other beautiful and fabulous neckties at Etsy.com/shop/VavaNeckwear. Vava Neckwear is a purveyor of funky, luxury, handmade pure silk neckties and bow ties to discerning gentlefolk and ladlefolk.
You know, I realize that the company probably wrote that, but that sounds like you could have written it.
Yes, to a degree. I will admit to adding on ladlefolk.
Okay.
Or
okay,
ladlefolk, depending on how
sense.
You pronounce the word.
Makes sense.
Yes, they're made in England, handmade in England, and... As a listener of Tomefoolery, or Runjit, you are a part of Tomefoolery. You're always a part of Tomefoolery, Runjit. You can get 15% off of your first purchase with the code Tomefoolery. Yes, that's right. The title of the show you're listening to now, Tomefoolery,
it's actually a coupon code.
Yes, that is the coupon code. You put it in your shopping cart, and you get 15% off your first purchase using that coupon code. Don't know how to spell tomefoolery? Check on the thing you're listening to right now. It is there for you. So go check them out. They're really great. I have a bunch of them, and I'm definitely going to get more. But first, Runjit, we have bigger fish to fry.
Yes, we have a huge fish to fry. This fish is called How to Refuse Alien Abduction.
And we learned so much, and yet so little, and yet... So much.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Oh, my God. It's by the Lightside UFO group?
Study group,
yes.
The light side. It's the lighter side of UFO study, everybody.
Because, you know, it really gets, you got on that deeper side, it really just gets bogged down.
We need to find the humor in alien abductions.
Right. You know? That's always been my biggest complaint about alien abduction studies, is there's not enough humor.
No, lighten up, people.
Right, come on.
Bring some levity.
Oh, man, yeah. This is a real hoot of a PDF that Runjit found online.
This is a study group based out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oshkosh Bagosh.
Yeah, that's right. They're the purveyor of fine pants for children. And so this is about a short piece, maybe a 15-page little mini book about how to refuse alien abduction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the preface, they say that most people reading this booklet have taken the next step into the alien existence scenario and are asking themselves, why are they here? What is their agenda? And how does this involve humans? And we'll be discussing more of that. But first, Runjit, you and I have been hosting this show for a year and a half now.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah,
yeah, it's been fun. We've had a real hoot, and we hope all the listeners have as well. But we have never, I almost said we've never spoken to each other. We've never talked to each other, Runjit. We're people.
Yeah.
We come and we talk to our guests. That we have on, and we've loved all of them. But
it's like we've been focusing so much on the children that our marriage has just been,
right?
You know, we
right.
have not.
I don't remember.
We need to, this is a date night.
I know,
for
right?
Us.
We're having a date
yeah,
night.
Yeah, we're having a date night.
We haven't talked in a long. I don't even know what you're up to. What's going on? So Runjit.
Yes, Cody.
When you were a small Runjit, when you were a Runjilette, if you will.
Yes.
God. I tickled myself way too much with that accidental.
You did.
when you were a Runjit, what did you read?
Well, my big thing, and this is not going to make me unique or rare, but my big thing when I was a kid was Stephen King. And
hey,
you know,
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I for his first like 10 years of writing, I had read every book, and you know, as soon as he published a book, I would read it. I would go buy it in hardback and read it. Then, as I got older, he started publishing like 8 books a year, and then I kind of lost track.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was my big thing. And then I was also into sci-fi. Loved reading Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov,
nice,
that kind of thing. Nice. What about you? When you were a youngster?
When I was a child. Oh yeah. God. This is gonna be. I might have even mentioned this before on the show. Not gonna be surprising to anybody. It doesn't make me unique or cool.
Actually, it makes you more unique or cool than I was.
No, you're great. Yeah, All of your stuff was awesome. I mean, I read Asimov when I was a kid as well. When I was in first grade, the first novel I read was Moby Dick. I think I've mentioned that on the show before.
Yes, I am aware of this.
Yeah, and then I really got into Dickens after that.
Yeah.
For some
As
reason.
All second graders do.
No, I think that was still first grade.
Okay, it's still first grade.
I don't know why.
I was actually not giving you enough credit there.
It's strange. Not about credit. Like, they were just books to me.
No, I know it's not to you.
But. No, yeah. And I was really into the classics. My favorite book when I was in, I think, third grade was Animal Farm. Because I really liked political commentary through satire at that time.
Again, as all youngsters do.
Like Fahrenheit 451, Animal Farm, those were all my favorite books around that time. That third to fifth grade era, I was really into like satire books.
Basically,
and Vonnegut and stuff was third through fifth grade for me.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
Like, and into middle school, obviously. I mean, like, I still enjoy it. Those are still some of my favorite books. But I was obsessed with that kind of stuff. That was also around the same time I was really getting into like to different types of comedians like Eddie Izzard and stuff like that. Because when I was a little kid, like in first grade, and before that, I was really into like Louis Anderson and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be a stand-up comedian when I was like in first grade.
I did not realize that.
Yeah,
that's actually really cool.
I did. I did stand up for my third or fourth grade talent show.
Do you remember what you did?
Yeah, and I've actually talked to him about this. I stole most of Louis Anderson's mom. Louis Looking at Me Again. And then I did a joke. My closer was a joke I wrote, which was me. This, which is also hilarious because it sounds like a bit I would still do. It was me ranting about why do veterinarians get their own day, and then somebody came out from the side of the stage and whispered into my ear, and I went. Uh-huh. Oh, so like the soldiers. Okay. And then they walked off, and then I went, all right, well, sorry, everybody. Thank you. Good night. And I just walked off the stage. That was my closer.
That is a great closer. I suggest you use it now.
Just
have the,
that'll
just
be my new closer.
Have a production assistant come and play that
role.
When
I go on tour, I'll just have to find a new person to like come do that.
Definitely do.
Yeah.
When I first started doing comedy as a kid, I did Smothers Brothers stuff.
Because, oh, nice.
Because I was a musical comedy who didn't write any of his own things at the time. So yeah,
nice. I still love your Chomp and Broccoli. Yeah. That's,
thank you.
That's
yeah,
great.
Which I didn't write either. So yeah.
Yeah, but I know, but I mean, I like your rendition. I like your.
Thank
you. I like your. You know, hey man, musicians cover shit. Man, you gotta do what you gotta do.
So what do you read these days, Cody?
Oh God, I've gotten
which one of these 10,000 books that I'm looking at right now in your living room?
The problem. I buy. The conservative estimate is I buy 10 books for every one book I read, which is not a good way to live. Like, I've got 2 bookshelves in the office that are just full of books that I have yet to read because I keep finding new books that I'm like, oh, I really want to read that.
This
really
is our new segment called Budgeting with Cody.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Your key to financial independence.
Well, because I also get a discount at my local bookstore, so it's just been a problem. I mean, when I was a kid, I also was really into Golden Age comics, and so which are the early 1900s comic books. I used to work at a comic book store as their Golden Age expert in middle school.
Nice.
And so, like, Golden Age Green Lantern, Alan Scott was huge for me and stuff like that. These days, I'm more into, like, Deadpool and kind of, like, the older, quote-unquote, comics. But I still really enjoy pulp comics, which are, like, The Shadow and Green Hornet.
Yeah.
In terms of books, I've been really into nonfiction stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot of, like, history books. I read a lot of, like, biography books. and things like that. A lot of memoirs, really into memoirs. I'm reading a book called Madhouse, which is about a psychiatric institute where they did experiments on the patients. Stuff like that. Like, you know, things like that kind of, those kinds of books. I don't really read a lot of fiction these days. Every once in a while I'll get a fiction book if it seems really interesting. But same thing with like with movies. I've been really into documentaries over the past couple of years more than I have been in actual films.
Yeah.
I still very much enjoy film. But yeah, it's I've been really into just kind of like an exploring the world kind of a kick. Yeah, and it's also spurred me to travel a lot. I've been traveling a lot more randomly and stuff. But yeah, so Ranjit, what do you read other than the books that I force you to for this show?
Yeah, which that's a pretty accurate description of most of the books we read. Okay.
Hey, you found this one.
Yeah, yeah. But I have been reading mostly nonfiction as well. And I've been getting into lately books about communication.
Okay.
Like, let's see, books about emotional intelligence. I've been reading lately books and articles about it, and books about like how to present yourself in professional situations. Just been getting into that.
Oh, nice.
That idea. Yeah.
I used to read a lot of those in middle school, the professional situation ones.
Yeah.
Like I would go to airports when I was flying and buy the like business books that they have and then read them on the plane.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff, actually. Pretty interesting. So that's, yeah, like the Carnegie type stuff.
Yeah.
Except, you know, more modern versions of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And so do you read any fiction anymore or anything? What was the last Stephen King you read?
Well, the last Stephen King I wanted to read was Dr. Sleep. Did you read that?
No, I bought it.
Okay, that was
going
one, of,
back
the,
to
one
the,
of the 90%.
Yeah, the 90%.
Yeah, no, I want to read that, have not read it yet.
Yeah.
So maybe I will borrow that from you and then never ever return it.
You've read The Shining.
As I do. Yeah, well, yeah, I've read The Shining many times.
My copy of The Shining I bought at the hotel where he wrote The Shining.
In Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh,
we
awesome.
We were there on a school field trip. And awesome. I bought it there.
Is that Estes Park? Is
yes.
that what I'm thinking
yes.
of? Yeah.
That's a great town. I've
yeah.
wanted to go
I've
back there.
I've seen that hotel.
It's a beautiful. Yeah, that's where they filmed the miniseries as well.
Got it.
They did
with the guy from Wings. Yeah. What's his, do you remember his name?
Steven something, I think. I feel so bad for him because yeah, he's the guy from Wings. Oh yeah, the guy from Wings.
By the way, this has nothing to do with it, but have you seen the documentary Room 237?
Yes, I saw it when it was at the Music Box.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Anyone who loves The Shining, see that documentary.
Yeah, it's very good. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix Instant is on there.
Also, so is Mitt, the documentary on Mitt Romney's campaign. Check
I
that
haven't
out
seen
as well.
That.
Yeah.
Is good?
Yeah, it's a good documentary. Good. Yeah. We just stand here and recommend documentaries all day. But Ranjit, we have aliens we have to stop.
We have to stop them from abducting us.
Yes.
Now, the good news is... Okay. Well, let's go with the bad news, okay? The bad news is hundreds of thousands of people have been abducted by aliens.
Hundreds of thousands.
According to our authors.
Is that American? Is that domestic? 100,000 domestic or international?
That's a good question. I'm not sure whether that's the National Alien Abduction Index or the world.
Oh man, I'll have to check the stock market on that one.
So. But the good news is you can refuse. It's kind of like vampires. Like
me, I can refuse.
You, little boy, can refuse.
Me, sir, I can refuse.
But it's not easy.
Oh, it's never easy, Ranjit.
No, it's not easy.
It's.
But by the end of this podcast, you too, dear listener, will understand how to refuse alien abduction.
Yes. And that will be taught to you by the Lightside UFO Study Group, which, as they discuss in the preface of this book that we've or pamphlet that we're discussing, those in the Lightside UFO Study Group have not experienced alien abduction. However, this is not to say that there have not been attempts to abduct us on several occasions.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Now, if you notice, they're not explicitly saying that there have been attempts to abduct them. They're just saying... This is not to say that there have not been. You know what I mean? They're just.
It's like their lawyer came and was like, hey, you need to put this in there or else you're going to get sued.
I also like from the preface, we are not here to prove that aliens exist. There is ample testimony from contactees and abductees. Like, that's a proven fact.
Yep.
No
Look,
one needs
we
to
all
prove
already
that.
Agree aliens exist. Everyone knows. So let's knows. Get past that. The most basic aspect. Look, we all speak English and agree that aliens exist. So let's get past this.
I love
Move
that.
Move right into it. Yep. And man, they do not waste any time. Before we jump into the episode, I mean, before like the pamphlet itself, I feel like we need to go to the glossary of terms.
I think that's a great idea
because they want us to be very clear on several key terms.
Yeah, let's get on the same page here.
So, the glossary of terms, you know, has your basics, things that we all know, like abductee. Alien abduction, you know, what is meditation? That is also in here, which will be discussed further.
That's right.
But, you know, then they've got other basic ones like alien contact, which they describe as a free, well, prearranged meeting.
Your people contact their people, aliens people.
You guys get lunch. You know? It's good times. But then they have fun ones like bad alien, which is a term that they decided they needed to glossarize.
And good alien.
Yes, so bad
so
alien.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Is an extraterrestrial that chooses service to self, rather than service to others, and does not follow the rules put in place by the Creator. And a good alien is an extraterrestrial who chooses service to others rather than service to self.
And this is the whole key to this idea here.
The difference between bad aliens and good aliens is whether they follow the tenets of Nietzsche, which now makes this the third episode in a row of Tomfoolery in which Nietzsche has come into play.
And we're going to shoot for four next time.
He haunts us like a shadow alien, which we'll also discuss later.
Yeah, which strangely they don't discuss. It's not in the glossary, but it's defined.
It's not in the glossary, but they also say that there are three different types of aliens that are trying to abduct us, and then they list four aliens after that.
that is true. Yes, having a little trouble with the concept of three.
They are not. They are. That is not to say that they understand how numbers work. the other two things that they define in here, which will launch us into the core of the PDF that we're discussing, was also some of my favorites. Was the universal law of non-interference, which is God's law prohibiting any being from interfering in another being's free will choice and their natural course of evolution, which, for me, really took alien abductions into that Star Trek area, because the universal law of non-interference is just the prime directive, but by God.
There you go. And it kind of reminded me of Asimov's, you know,
the
rules are kind of very similar.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's because that's the prime directive in Star Trek is that you're not allowed to deal with pre-warp speed technology civilizations, that they have to have their own thing. That's pretty much exactly what that is. We're just pre-warp speed for God. The other one is the white light of protection. It is the soul, essence, God's light, which emanates from the heart when sent out mentally with 100%. No half-assing it, Ranjit. It has to be 100%.
No 90% assing it.
Yes. Yeah. Even 99%.
Not
going to
cut it.
It's going to be like the eggshell white love.
You're going to get abducted.
It's the eggshell white light of protection. Yes. It's or like a weird ivory. It needs to be pure white.
Ochre.
100%.
Ochre? Something
ochre,
like that?
Yeah.
I've only seen that word. I don't know how to say it.
It's the light gray light of protection. With 100% belief and love is used for protection against negativity and harm.
So what I like about that is there's an automatic out. If this white light of protection does not work, all they have to say is you didn't have 100% belief. And that's why you, sir, were abducted.
Well, I mean, you were dressed that way, so of course they're going to abduct you.
Yeah, you were asking for it.
Yeah, you were lying in bed by yourself without trying 100% free love and free will exercising. Well, obviously, you wanted to get abducted by aliens.
That's right.
Yeah, they and they actually do discuss in it, in the testimony from the person that they quote in this, they do discuss that you will still get abducted if you don't go full in on it.
Yeah, it's all in or nothing here.
I believe that the exact quote on that one, it's an example of using the light to refuse an attempted negative alien abduction. It's a two-paragraph sample from this person who we later saw on YouTube. If you type in how to refuse an alien abduction on YouTube, you will see two ladies discussing these tenets, and one of them basically quotes this, so it has to have been the same person, unless this is a story that's been traded around in the group. She says, and I'm pulling out parts from it, in her first alien abduction, I felt myself paralyzed. In my mind, no one has the right to invade the space, mind, body, spirit of another person. I was upset at this act against my free will. And she manages to struggle, move her hand or her head.
Yeah.
And then they stop abducting her immediately because they're like, oh no, she broke it. And then later, they try and abduct her again because they've discovered that she is learning the tenets of this, and that's not cool.
Yeah.
Because if more humans figure it out, they can't abduct anyone, Runjit.
And that she has a YouTube account where she can tell other people.
Oh, no.
That's
literally
needs to be stopped.
Hundreds or maybe thousands of people may find out about this.
That's right.
And then what will they do? And then she says in the second one, one of our benevolent alien contacts spoke to me in my head saying, it's not working because you are not saying it calm enough or kind enough. I stopped my struggle, finished the prayer, sent out love and light, then rolled over and went to sleep. Because that's what you do.
When you're life is in danger.
I'm glad I got out of that alien abduction. Now to take a power 20. Just really roll right into that sleep.
I hope a murderer never enters her house. Because she'll be like, I'm going to move my head and then roll over and fall asleep.
Yeah. And then I shot him dead. And then I rolled over and I went to sleep. Because, boy, was that exhausting.
So what this woman was experiencing is actually a real thing. It's sleep paralysis.
Yes.
Have you ever experienced this, Cody?
All the time.
I have. Yeah, I have a few times.
The last time was actually a couple of weeks ago. And it freaked me out. Because I could
does freak you out, yeah.
It was in the morning and I could hear my neighbor leaving for work.
Oh, that's eerie.
And so in my head, the dream that I was having was that somebody was breaking into my apartment,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't move to stop them.
Yeah. Well, let's just some listeners may not exactly be clear on what sleep paralysis is. So let me
let me do a lead in.
Okay, great.
And this is Runjit Explains Medical Phenomena.
So I'll tell you kind of how I've experienced it, and you can, I don't know the actual, but so what sleep paralysis is, as far as I understand, the way I've experienced it is kind of this state between sleeping and waking, and this this has happened to me maybe 10 times in my whole life, and it's usually in the morning, because when you're going from sleeping to waking, but you're not quite in the waking state yet,
right?
And I think what happens is you're like a part of your brain wakes up before your body has woken up, or something like that, and so you become kind of aware. But you can't actually move. It's like your body is still asleep.
Yeah, I think you're.
What's actually? Do you know more about it?
I mean, I'm speaking from having read something about it and forgetting most of it. But
okay.
I think it's something like you're rolling out of REM, but like you're still not fully out of it or something like that. I think it's vaguely related to the going to sleep one, which is where you feel like you're falling.
Yes.
And then you suddenly wake up.
Right.
I think they're vaguely related to each other.
Yeah. And the sensation is that you're aware of things, but you can't move your body.
Yes.
And it's very scary, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like when you do a lot of ecstasy.
Okay, I don't really know.
I'm kidding. I don't either. But it sounds like a thing that would happen. I don't know. Look, I only watched a lot of after school specials growing up. The Dare program was only so enlightening.
Yes. Well, so yeah, she was experiencing that, and I guess this group. I mean,
or
she was being
abducted by aliens.
Or,
yeah,
I mean,
that's
their interpretation.
Let's not blame
of
the
it.
Victim.
She was asking to be abducted, Cody.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh no, this is getting bad. Yes, she was probably experiencing sleep paralysis. Yes.
So here's her.
Although,
solution.
How do you explain the good alien telling her that she's not trying hard enough if it's sleep paralysis?
That's
Runjit?
True. That's true. We're not here to prove the existence of good aliens because everyone already knows
there is ample evidence, Runjit.
For
ample
good aliens.
I woke up this morning and read at least 3 articles just about aliens.
And watched 3 YouTube videos about it.
The other day I was walking home and I tripped over several books on the subject just lying in the street because there's ample evidence about it.
Well, let's talk, by the way, about using the light.
Please.
This is the main tool, really, for refusing abduction. I'm just going to read a little bit of this, okay?
Please do.
Each one of us has been given a gift from God. It is that spark of light in all of us, God's light. This light is a protective shield from negativity. To find this light, one must reach inside themselves, believe in it, 100%, right? And mentally expand it out from the heart. To use the light effectively, one should practice using it often throughout the day. Now, here's the logistics of how you actually do it. The way to practice using the light is by imagining oneself in a bubble of light. Bubble. Okay, got it?
A bubble.
Cody, you want to try this right now?
Okay.
Imagine yourself in a bubble of light.
Bubble of light.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then stretch it out to include those we love. Right.
Okay, wait. You're
okay, Cody was in. He was in until then.
Until I had to have people I love.
Yeah. Once that, you have to include other people, like, come on, he's just trying to protect himself, right?
Like,
now.
I mean, I don't even love the cat. I'm a very cold person. I've only got so much. All right, I tried.
All right. Well, nothing. Oh, here's my favorite sentence here. If one uses the light with the proper motivation, always keeping in mind that it is a God-given ability, nothing in this universe can penetrate it. Nothing. If you're about to get mugged...
Nope, bubble of light.
Bubble of light.
I feel like that's like Invisible Woman from Fantastic Four.
I don't know Invisible Woman, but...
Well, she's a nice woman. You should meet her sometime.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, my favorite line is, if done properly, one can almost see the bubble of light, and one can definitely feel when it is sent out correctly with love.
Sent out correctly.
With love. 100%. With love. 100%.
With love,
I guess that one's probably,
bubble of light.
That's probably 110% if they're really sending it out properly.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But yeah, that's...
That's the high school basketball coach's version of it. You got a bubble of light, 110%.
Get that bubble of light. You're going to get in there, you're going to bubble of light. People should yell that more often at other people. So what we're discussing now is the really interesting aspect of the light side UFO study group and this particular document, which is that it is very religious based.
Yes.
And in a weird way, I'm going to be honest. I've been to Roswell twice.
You have?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's never come up.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, we had an RV and we went on a road trip to Montana and we went through Roswell because I wanted to. And I went to the museum. And then later when I was driving back from Vegas, I think, or no, when I was in New Mexico, on a road trip with some friends, I made us go to Roswell and went to the UFO museum again.
That's awesome.
Doesn't hold up the second time. I'm not gonna lie. but yeah, I used to be obsessed with aliens when I was a kid. I had like all of the books on it and stuff. that I had a lot of books about UFOs. But yeah, I've never actually encountered this concept of religion versus like aliens with religion and aliens versus religion, other than, you know, Star Trek, obviously, and things like that, and that general kind of thing. You know, and I've read about spiritual aliens, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But in this idea of using God against aliens, it's a really interesting mashup of a lot of things that I am usually into from a like cultural study anthropology aspect,
right, and that you have considered separate things,
right? Yeah, this is a weird confluence that I had never actually looked at before, which is this idea. And so for us to like just to break it down for the audience, for the listeners, which I mean, if you're listening right now, seriously, this is a 12-page document. Most of those pages just being like the table of contents and cover letters.
Right.
It will take you, I'm not even kidding, you can be the slowest reader and you can read it in under 10 minutes easy.
Yes.
Reading it out loud to your children will take less than 10 minutes. And it's
not that we're recommending that.
Don't read it to your children. Well, I mean, it depends on how interesting your kids are. If you got cool kids, read it to your kids. I'm sure they'll love it. If I were a child, I would have dug this too. If yeah. I were a child, I would have printed this out and handed it out like spiritual tracts on the playground. Like, here, have you heard the news? But it's really interesting. It doesn't take that much time, but. The core of this basically is the idea we were discussing earlier with good aliens and bad aliens.
Yeah.
So good aliens are spiritually righteous aliens in a really evangelical pushy kind of way, if you think about it, from both these people and the aliens aspect, that the only way that you're a good alien is if you're spiritually righteous.
Right.
Real pushy. But I like that I'm just angry at the like the religion, the religious pushiness of the aliens. Like, look, we get it. So, you know, morality is relative. You know, come on. Okay, so then the bad aliens are spiritually negative aliens, as we discussed in the glossary, meaning that they reject God's laws. And later, when they're discussing the different types of aliens, they actually list shadow aliens. To jump ahead, shadow aliens are dark, shadow-like figures that may be seen heard on one or more commonly through one's peripheral vision. Shadow beings are shapeshifters who do so for deception. This is my favorite part. They have been known to take the shape of a cat,
yep,
a huge spider, a streak, a cloud, a ghost-like figure with no neck, and a male wearing a cape and a hat with a wide brim and flat crown. Quote,
Spanish style.
In parentheses, Spanish style.
That is a shadow.
So what I love most about that sentence is that it makes it very clear that those are specific people who have seen shadow aliens and recognized them as, like, saw a cat and went, that's a shadow alien
right there. A huge spider, shadow alien.
Zorro, yes. shadow alien. Shadow beings, they list as demons. They are the most evil and powerful of the negative beings, and they have dominion over all negative aliens. Shadow beings are what is known as demons or devils and are under the command of Satan and Lucifer. And then Satan is listed under here. Satan, who works under Lucifer, which... I don't know what biblical studies you're going through, but that's some real old school. So Lucifer, the light bearer, was God's right hand. Look, let's get Paradise Lost on this real quick.
Okay.
Lucifer, light bearer, was God's favorite angel, the most beautiful of the angels. And if you look at the pictures and some of the things, he's a pretty cute alien. So,
meaning light. L U C.
The Latin. Yep. So he decided to reject God. And rose an army up against some of angels, and then they went against God. Michael, a bunch of the other angels, which is why Michael has the sword, came, fought against them, and then sent them down through the earth to hell. And then Lucifer, who is also then called Satan in his devil form. This is a weird conflation of aliens and Lucifer, other than them forgetting that Satan and Lucifer are not the same person. They also say, and here my favorite quote from that area is, they have no qualms about breaking God's universal law of non-interference.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's...
So those were the shadow aliens. So Runjit, do you want to tell us about the other three aliens?
Oh, yes, Cody, I do. First of all, and you know, when I mention these, listeners, you probably will think, oh yeah, I've seen like sketches of these at some point.
They talk about all of these at the Roswell Museum.
I
used to have little figures of them that I bought at the Roswell Museum.
That's awesome.
Because they have little toys.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. My favorite part to lead in for you, Runjit.
Yeah.
So they say, in a nice little nod to anti-prejudice and racism, not all of these three species are negative. Some of them have chosen to walk in the light. So that's good. We shouldn't prejudice.
That's right. And that's in bold, too.
Yes.
Like, because
they've had some they've had some past problems with their members being real racist against reptilians.
Hey, you creepy race or alien racist, whatever, alienist people. All right. So the first type of the three of the four is the three of the four of the five.
Yeah.
So there's three types and then they list five. But
it happens.
The first type of the three of the four of the five is the mantis. Mm-hmm. They're named after Earth's praying mantis because of their insect-like appearance. These are the insectoid, you know.
Yes. Do they call themselves mantis? Or are we being really like Earth-centric in naming them? In the same way that Spain is not Spain, it's España, but we call it Spain because we need our own name for another country.
I'm pretty sure they do not call themselves the mantis. I'm pretty sure what they call themselves is like, they rub their two things together and they make some sound. And that's their name.
Sure.
I think that's how it works.
That would make sense to me. like a large cricket.
By the way, also, these first three are mantis, greys, and reptilians, which made me think when I read it, mantis? Because like they're all plural. It's like greys, reptilians.
Yeah, I guess it'd be like mantises.
I was like the mantis.
Mantis. Yeah. Yes. This is an alien species of mantiteos who are easily tricked into believing that they have a girlfriend that lives far away from them.
But then they get
topical.
Drafted, and then everything. They make a lot of money anyway.
Oh, so. Topical humor, Renja. Topical.
Yes. All right. Then we have the greys. They hail. Weighing in at 230 pounds.
That's pretty heavy for a gray.
Hailing from the... You're right. they're actually pretty
skinny. Small and thin.
Weighing in at 160 pounds, I'm going to say.
It's closer. Yeah.
And they hail from the Orion system.
Hey-o!
Hey!
Shout out to all my Orions out there. What up?
They're between 3 and 5 feet tall.
Yes.
Or as they write here, between 3 to 5 feet tall. with a large head and large black eyes. Again, we've all seen the sketches.
They are large
the large-eyed.
Yeah. They're the most commonly referenced alien species. They are, I believe the greys are the ones that are considered the Roswell aliens.
I think so, too.
There is a subset of greys that are, like, smaller and weirder, and I think they're the green ones. There's a lot of controversy, if I may be British about it, surrounding the greys, because there's a lot of infighting in the alien communities about, like, different aspects of the greys, which we'll discuss later as well. There's a lot of people who don't think that they are negative aliens. There's a lot of people who believe that they're actually a part of a larger culture. Anywho.
The people behind this booklet do believe that 90% of them, I think they said, are the bad aliens, I think. Something like that. Most of them are the bad ones.
They said, our alien contacts say that as far as the greys are concerned, the greys believe that the planet belongs to them.
Meaning Earth.
Earth.
Yeah.
About 90% of the other alien races are in agreement with the previous statement and respect the greys, not because they are positive, but because of the power and technology that they have.
That's right.
My favorite part about the greys is the line, they are playing God when they create and destroy at will. Because it's discussing that they have advanced technology with no spirituality.
Oh,
looking at you, America.
The nerve. The nerve of them. Look in the mirror, people.
Truly, the greys are the most communist of alien species.
Oh, Lord.
It's like the Russia of space. finally, Ranjit.
Well, finally, we have, the worst one-sentence description ever of the reptilians, which is, the reptilians are snake-like in appearance, which is not. They're not, right? Am I wrong about this?
It depends. If we're going, off of the episode that we talked about previously, the Aaron Lane episode, the David Icke reptilians, they look more like lizard people.
Well, but here's the thing, though. In this particular document that we're reading now, they then go on to describe them as being that kind of... here's the first two sentences, okay? Tell me if these do not make zero sense together.
Fair enough.
First two sentences of the reptilians' description. The reptilians are snake-like in appearance, period. They stand upright between 6 to 8 feet tall, as snakes do.
if it's the snake from the Jungle Book, I think sometimes he did, didn't he?
I think you're going overly to the credit side of the writer's hair.
Look, I'm always sticking up for the writer.
Yes, you are. To their credit.
Yes.
Okay, in fairness. So, yeah, they state that they're snake-like, but from their description,
yes.
It's clear they're not snake-like. They're the typical reptilians that
I think they're focusing
picture,
on the
you know?
Eyes, because they said they have yellow to gold eyes with vertical slits like snakes. But that also makes sense. Most reptiles. So,
yeah.
But yeah, the difference for the tomfoolery audience out there who has listened to other episodes, the difference between this and the Ike reptilians, which I'd love to see a gang war occur over this.
Maybe Ike, a musical version.
Yeah, like snapping, a lot of snapping and hissing because they're reptiles. The Ike reptiles are subdimensional reptile aliens. They're
That's
aliens
right.
from another dimension.
Yeah.
These aliens are from our dimension.
Correct.
Yes. So there's a possibility that in an Ike system, there are reptilian aliens controlling those reptilian aliens.
That's a, turtles, what's
it's
the phrase?
Turtles all the way down, Ranjit.
Yeah, that's the phrase.
It's reptilian
I learned
aliens
it from you.
All the way down.
Yeah, but what about those reptilians,
They're
Cody?
Controlled by other reptilians. Yeah.
So you got your mantis, your mantiteos.
Well, okay, the reptilians have been on Earth many times, according to this, though. Their first contact with Earth was 110,000 years ago.
This is a great timeline, by the way.
Which puts them in direct conflict with young Earth creationists. So that's a fun fight, too.
Yeah. Because they're both religious,
right.
These people and
the, according to young Earth creationists, that would be before the Earth existed. They left and came back about 27,000 years ago, still before the Earth was created. They left again because the planet had nothing they could use.
They're very practical, the reptilians.
They're just like, ugh, whatever. Yeah. And then they became very interested again with this planet about 10,000 years ago, still before young Earth creationism, and did stay for a while because the change in life forms on Earth piqued their interest. So they're a lot like Darwin that way.
Yeah, that piqued his interest too.
It's their own little studies. They stayed a while and tampered with humans' DNA by inserting their gene in our gene pool, Ranjit. So we've got reptilian up in there. Then they left again because, you know, why not?
They just can't commit to anything, these people.
They're really wishy-washy.
These reptilians. Yeah. They're coming, they're going.
My favorite line is this one right after that. There were serious repercussions for mixing the genes of humans and aliens, namely the beginning of negative humans, and God was angry.
Exclamation point.
So, the best part about that sentence, this paragraph has now put them in direct conflict with young Earth creationists, yet almost in agreement with Scientologists.
Scientologists? Explain this to me.
Because Scientology, one of the basic tenets of Scientology is that Lord Xenu, who is an alien, sent away aliens to Earth that crashed into volcanoes and died, and then their ghosts went into cavemen and made negativity.
Oh.
And then when they die, the ghosts go to new humans, and that's how they've proliferated. And they're proliferating through creating new humans, more ghosts, blah blah blah. We all have ghost aliens. That's what when they do the counseling and kind of thing to try to work through you're expelling the ghosts from you.
Got
the alien
it.
Ghosts. So that is what create but that's what creates negativity in humans. And this is saying that the gene splicing that the reptilians did is what's created negativity in humans.
Wow.
So they're near Scientology, away from young Earth creationism, and yet still conflating Satan and Lucifer, or Satan and Beelzebub. It's good times.
It's great times.
It's a real nice religion mishmash going on here. It's like a potluck of religion.
Oh, that's a great description.
Yeah.
The mantiteos are there waiting for their girlfriend. They're like, yeah, she's going to be here.
She'll be here.
She
I
told
believe.
Me she'll be here.
I believe,
the
Ranjit.
Grays,
I believe.
Are there.
The truth is out there, Ranjit.
And then Satan's there as well.
You
Satan
know,
and maybe Lucifer.
He hangs know. Out.
You know.
All right, so Ranjit, we've discussed the aliens. We've discussed the light. But like, we have to discuss more about how you can actually stop the alien abductions, because that is what this is about. We've learned the basics.
Yes.
But how do we apply it?
Yes, because this is a very practical PDF here. Very
exactly. It gives you the tools to move forward and succeed.
This is like a personal trainer for your alien abduction fighting needs.
Because you have to succeed, Renjit.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Renjit, let's talk a little bit about that. So we talked about the three tenets, the tools for refusing alien abduction are using the light, meditation, balance, and policing yourself, which I believe are actually four. But I think at some point they say three.
they have a hard time folks, counting. They understand the rule of three, which is that you always just say there's three things, and then you list all the things, no matter what number they are. That's the comic rule of three, everybody.
So we already discussed God's light.
Yeah.
So the next one is meditation.
Meditation. And they paraphrase Simon and Garfunkel here. So here's their description of meditation. The sound of silence is so seldom heard that many times it is forgotten. Meditation is a tool that can be used to bring peace and balance back into our lives. Meditation is also one of the weapons on our coat of spiritual armor that, when practiced consistently and joyfully, can help to refuse negative alien encounters. This is a long thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But essentially, meditating is one of their keys to refusing alien abduction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there are different ways to meditate, and everyone can use a method, is what they say, which feels right to them as long as attunement with the Creator is achieved. That is the most important part about meditation, Renjit. Forget about your own sense of well-being and trying to block out all of the things that you have going on in your life, which is the purpose of meditation, and just focus on communion with God.
Yes, the Creator.
I'm pretty sure what they mean to say is prayer. but, you know.
Which
you
they
do
refer to quite a bit here as well.
Of course. Like,
yeah, that's one of the things.
And then the next one, Renjit, is balance.
Is balance. Okay, so balance is a characteristic needed to refuse abduction, which is self-evident since this is the third thing on their list of characteristics to refuse abduction. Balance is also very useful in identifying an attempted abduction and having the conviction that you have the right to say
no!
All caps, exclamation point.
Say it with us, audience.
Okay. No!
Aliens, no abducting.
We need to teach, you know, instead of teaching people how to avoid abduction, we should teach the aliens to not abduct. Come on.
I know. I feel like there should be a DARE program in schools for alien abduction.
Come on. Come on, aliens. It's your, you should be the ones not abducting.
Ugh, the worst. my favorite part is the first step of thinking about what causes unbalance, which is the act of not being balanced, means you have to figure out which traps, such as, and I just love, they put all of these things in a list together.
Yeah.
So these are the traps: TV, books, sleep, sex, alcohol, drugs, infatuation, etc. Which distractions, such as hobbies, family, your spouse, children, grandchildren, sports, surfing the net, etc., or which, quote, hot button items like road rage.
Okay, hold on. I just want to point out, the main verb of this sentence has not been encountered yet.
Oh, yes, valid.
This sentence is like 80 words long so far. We don't know what the main verb
is like
yet.
It's like German. It's like German that way. Or which, quote, hot button, end quote, items like road rage, teasing, politics, religion, etc., cause you to slam.
There it is.
There you are. Cause you to slam from calm and centered to unbalanced.
Slam from
boom.
I've never heard the word slam used that way. But I don't even know what that sentence had like three colons before you got to the main verb. So
it's
kind of tough to understand.
I just love,
but those were great
rage,
lists though.
Teasing, politics, and religion. Oh God, you know, such hot button issues like teasing.
Road rage, teasing.
Yeah. Guys, let's talk really long and hard about teasing.
Oh, that was an awesome sentence. TV, books, sleep, sex, alcohol, drugs,
infatuation.
Infatuation. I got a crush on someone. I'm going to get abducted by an alien! Because I had a crush on someone. Okay, I'm exaggerating. That wasn't
I have a crush on crack cocaine. Because that's what happens when you put drugs and infatuation right next to each other in a list. Oh, man. Yeah, so...
I'm married. Oh, my God! I'm going to get abducted by an alien!
So,
I'm a spouse.
Listeners at home, if you want to not get abducted by an alien, don't get teased... Have grandchildren.
Have a spouse. Don't have a spouse, or have
a crush on anyone.
Yes.
Or you will be immediately abducted
or,
by
or
aliens.
Read a book.
Right,
don't read
right.
a book.
And if you do, use 100% of light.
Enclose the light.
I feel like if anybody out there remembers George H.W. Bush's platform of 1,000 points of light.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
Perhaps. Yeah.
The 1,000 points of light is just 1,000%. Where you can see the light, and the light will fix the economy and keep it from being abducted by aliens.
Hey, that's a good thing.
I'm
going to
run on that platform.
My favorite thing, by the way, in one of the videos was at the end of one of the people involved in this group was giving a speech. And which, by the way, the camera never showed the audience.
Yeah.
So you had no idea. Like, there might have been no one there.
Yeah, it was called book signing, but it was not actually signing. It was a lecture.
And then, they never once went to the audience. So who knows whether anyone was there. But one of the last things she said was, like a feather in her cap, she was like, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, and by the way, I have never been abducted by an alien, which I guess it was like, so that proves that everything I'm saying works.
Which is not to say that she hasn't been attempted to be abducted
by
an alien.
Right, not to say that.
Not to say that, but still.
But still. So, yeah.
Compassion for others, they say, will increase as you witness the struggles others have to make to succeed. Which, thank you. PDF about alien abductions for explaining what compassion and empathy is.
Correct. That's probably a good idea for anyone.
Little known fact,
whether aliens exist or not.
Little known fact, if you witness other people struggling, that will create compassion.
Unless you're a sociopath of some sort.
Valid point. Or, a politician.
Or a bad alien, if you're a bad alien.
Yes. Yes, bad aliens.
Bad aliens.
All bad aliens are reptilians, but not all reptilians are bad aliens.
Hey, there's a Venn diagram going on there, we're saying. And it's got these 3, 4, 5 things in it.
So yes, and then finally, Ranjit, we have policing yourself.
Yeah.
Or policying yourself.
Yeah,
depending.
I read it that way too. Policying yourself.
And Ranjit, in there, they say, once we faced ourselves, we realized we needed a plan and came up with these guidelines. And they give us 3 guidelines that are 8 guidelines.
Yes.
Ranjit, will you tell us what those guidelines are?
Rule of 3, okay?
The rule of 8.
Number 1, which is actually 3 guidelines.
So they actually did follow the rule of 3s within the rule of 8.
So number 1 is be truthful and honest with yourself, and then there's 3 bullet points. No justifications, no exaggerations, no illusions about self or others. Again, that's pretty good advice.
Right, yeah.
That's good advice.
Every once in a while, you can read the craziest books and still pick up some nice little facts about your life and things you need to work on.
We found some good stuff in the Dr. Laura book.
Right.
There was some good stuff in
Don't
there.
Don't remind me about that, Ranjit. It was a dark time in my life.
As opposed to this?
This is fun.
Okay, you want to tell us the second one?
Sure. Number 2 is examine yourself at the end of each day, if not more often.
That sounds kind of creepy to me.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't know if
sure.
they mean physically
I'm
or not.
Sure
like,
I
am I checking,
that
am I checking
day.
For tumors? I don't understand what's happening. Okay. But yeah, you just take a good hard look in the mirror and ask yourself, did I give 100% bubble light today?
That's right.
I'm going to start writing that on my mirror and lipstick. Did I give 100% bubble light today?
Then when a murder happens, you're going to be the first suspect.
Probably already would be. You've seen my book
collection. That's true. All right, number 3. They're going to make it real on number 3 here.
Yeah,
they're
really
going to use
do.
Some language to connect with the kids here. Admit your problems, screw-ups, and faults. And they did hyphenate screw-ups. I was pleased with that.
Well played.
Okay. Take responsibility for all your actions and thoughts. Pretty good. Yeah.
This is when it really starts feeling like a 12-step program.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I feel like I'm an AA for aliens.
AAAA. No, AAA.
Yes.
Alien Abduction Anonymous, AAA.
Yes, yes, AAA. I like it. I dig it.
There
let's,
we go.
Let's get this started. We'll, okay. we'll get sued by AAA, but other than that, we'll be fine.
But you know what we should do for our AAA? We should also pick people up for free when they have car problems. Because that is helping them not get abducted
and
by aliens.
And that'll be the AAAA. The Alien Abduction Anonymous Abductions.
Nice. I was going to say assistance.
I was going to go with abductions because we're abducting them because we're picking them up for free.
We are.
Number four, Runjit.
Analyze any problems you are having, be it at work, or at home, and be honest.
Now, I don't want to be nitpicky, but I feel like that's just two and three again.
That's very true. That is true. So maybe this is only three things. Maybe it's eight, but maybe it is only three, really.
Number five is try to see everything from the other person's point of view, which I agree is very good advice. That's just empathy. I wear a bracelet that has a heart on it that is supposed to remind me of that.
Oh, good.
That's
okay.
The idea is that it, and not just for basic empathy, but the idea of it is that like people are assholes to me a lot, and it really fucks me up when that happens. Like when someone's just generally a dick to me, it really like I really shut down emotionally.
Yeah.
And so that's supposed to remind me that maybe they're being a dick to me because of problems that they're having in their own life.
Yeah.
And that I shouldn't think about it as a referendum on me as a person, but rather that they're just. They're just taking it out their aggression on somebody because something probably is bad happening in their life.
Yeah.
And of course, there's probably just some assholes occasionally. But it helps me not shut down.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's this is good advice.
And you have not been abducted by an alien, therefore,
yet, to my knowledge,
proving that this list works.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I could have been. And I just don't remember.
So,
look, Runjit, I'm a busy guy. A lot of things happen. I could have been abducted by an alien.
I don't remember.
I don't even remember what I was doing last Tuesday.
I mean, my problem is I've been abducted so many times that they all run together.
I know, right? You just can't remember. Was that when the reptilians and the greys? Was that
the good alien or the bad alien?
Was Zorro there? I don't remember.
Or was that the cat? Time the cat
was it the cat
me.
And the giant spider? Was it the cat that's riding a giant spider with a Spanish style hat?
Well, I got abducted by a streak once, Cody.
Oh, that was awkward.
It was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because we weren't really freaking fast.
I got abducted by a cloud once, but it was just fog.
All right. Let's go to number six. Own up to the part you play in a problem situation and do not worry about the part other people play, which is kind of the opposite of your bracelet thing.
But
so
again,
that's what you should do. You should
be still
like,
just giving good advice.
Yeah, no, it is good advice.
Well, because the problem is that that's putting onus on you as a problem situation, because it's like if you're not doing anything and someone's just a jerk to you, you can't really own up to the problem that you created.
Yeah, this is good advice for those situations where you do play a part.
Yeah, where you're doing something.
I think we can agree those happen.
Me, Runjit.
That's true.
Perfect.
That's true. Cody never causes problems.
Never.
So anyway, Cody, what's seven?
Why are you making me read seven? Runjit, number seven, you need to ask for God's help and then meditate on it.
Yeah, you can't just meditate.
Yeah, you can't just ask for God's help. You can't just be like, yo, this God, can I get some help? Anyway, I'm going to go to Burger King and then leave. You got to meditate on it.
Yeah, so the two-pronged attack, people.
God's not going to leave a message on your fridge, Runjit. What I'm saying, you need to be there and be ready.
God is not going to be responsible for your screw-ups. We're going to talk to the kids, Cody, here.
Guys, can we rap to you about God meditating?
All right, number eight. The eighth and third and final
take it home,
in this
Runjit.
List. Once you have learned from these experiences, take conscious action to correct the problem and work on not letting it happen again.
It's all your fault. Why are you being abducted by aliens? You're not trying hard enough, and you suck.
And you are wearing those skimpy pajamas.
You cared too much about your grandchildren. That's why you're getting abducted by aliens.
And you were reading a book.
How dare you? How dare you?
And you had road rage.
How dare you get abducted by aliens?
We have just boiled it down to a thesis statement there.
Yes. So we recommend you still go forth and read this PDF. You can find it, just search for it. How to Refuse Alien Abductions is what it's called, or Alien Abduction is what it's called.
If you can't find it, ask for God's help in finding it.
We'll probably put a link up for it. You can find it on the Facebook episode
that's
summary.
Right. So either ask for Tomfoolery's help or God's help.
Yes.
One of them will help you find it.
Oh, I almost did the John Lennon thing. Where I was Tomfoolery is bigger than Jesus. Nope.
No.
We're just sillier than Jesus. A little bit sillier. But yeah, so this has been How to Refuse Alien Abduction. And we have hopefully given you the tools that you can use to create 100% bubble light.
100% with full commitment, ladies and gentlemen, not only around yourself, but also around those you love, but not around books or your computer.
Yes.
Because those are the things that can help you get abducted.
Okay. All right. So, Ranjit, this is it. How do you feel?
Well, okay. This is probably going to be surprising to anyone who's listened to this whole episode, but my mind is actually pretty open to the possibility of intelligent life on other planets.
Okay.
You know, I believe that there's a decent chance that that is out there.
That is the thing I judge less about people. Like, mm-hmm. in weird belief structure, the alien thing, to a point, I'll like be like, sure, okay, I can understand somebody believing that.
Yeah.
I don't really have a strong opinion either way on aliens. I mean, I think the universe is huge. So, yeah, I'm sure that there's, if you look at the laws of, like, if you're not a religious person and you don't believe mm-hmm. in the Earth being, like, the center of the universe.
Right.
Then, yeah, there probably is somebody else out there.
Yes. Who's intelligent. I think there's a decent chance.
That would
yeah.
be, it'd be ridiculous if we lived in a universe where by just, you know, just randomness that there wouldn't be something else, at least somewhat. It's also a matter of how do you judge intelligence, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah. So I can dig it.
So I'm actually, you know, open to that idea. However, this book I just kind of read with... I can't really take something like this seriously. I mean, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fun. It's fun and interesting. Genuinely interesting, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and funny. and it's a good read. It's a good short read. I'd recommend it. It's interesting. And there are people who really, honestly, truly believe this.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're very sincere about this.
It's very interesting. And, like, go watch the video. They really delve in depth on it in YouTube a little bit more. Yeah, it's really interesting to see these kinds of people. Because they're also – it's also interesting from a rhetorical standpoint to try and look at this as a rationalization kind of a thing. Like, because they're taking it from an intellectual standpoint to the best of the abilities.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Versus, like, your normal alien abduction stuff. Like, that's why I like the Roswell Museum, because it's trying to do, like, a very scientific look at aliens.
Right.
It doesn't really succeed in a lot of ways, but it's better than the kind of, like, the generic joke alien stuff that we always get, which is, you know, like, yokels out in the hills kind of a thing, where they're just
right.
like, you know, I got beamed up, and then all the, like, they're, the approach is interesting.
Yeah,
and the scientific attempt. It's but it all falls apart with the conflation of Satan. I just can't stand it at that point.
That was the first time that Cody was like, "Wait a minute!" At the very end of the document,
I was on board all the way up until there.
Wait a minute, Satan and Lucy, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, it's a, you know, it's a fun read.
It is, and it's a quick read.
Yeah, you know, just
and it's good free.
It's right.
Free.
Yep. Yeah. Oh man. All right. So, Ranjit.
Yes, sir.
You do comedy.
I
from
do.
From what I understand.
I do.
What do you got going on?
Occasional comedy. Right now, I'm doing 4 shows a weekend. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to go into detail, but you can find them online.
Free.
But yeah, I perform Saturdays, 6 and 8 p.m. You and I do the 6 p.m. show together over at Stage 773. This is all in Chicago.
Yep.
And I perform Sundays, 10 and 11 a.m. at the Second City's Skybox Theater. So come to any of those places, any of those times, any Saturday and Sunday. And what about you, Cody?
And where can they follow you on Twitter, Ranjit?
Oh, at Daily Joke by Range, R-A-N-J.
Yes.
I have been writing jokes every day since November of 2010.
Woo!
And I post one every day as a new joke of
the
day.
I believe that's around the same time that that video about the alien abductions was posted on YouTube.
Ooh, coincidence? I think so.
And
what about you, Cody?
I am headlining the stand-up showcase at the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival on March 21st in Chicago.
Pretty perfect. What day of the week is that?
That is
know?
A Friday night at 8 p.m.
Awesome.
It's going to be some fun times. I'm also, you know, just traveling around. I'm doing shows. I just came off of like three different festivals in February. So all of my like travel stuff's over for the most part right now. I might be going to Toronto in late April, so there'll be more information about that later. Doing some shows over there.
Nice.
So if you ever want to find out about shows that I'm doing, because I do actually get out of Chicago sometimes, or hey, if you live in Chicago and you listen to the show, you can find most of my upcoming shows. I've been really bad about updating lately, but you can find that information usually on CodyMelcher.com, also Facebook.com/eccentricgent, or on Twitter @eccentricgent. You can find me there.
There you go.
Yes. So this has been Tome Foolery, of course.
Yeah.
Again, we want to do a shout out to our sponsor, Vava Neckwear. You can find them at Etsy.com/shop/VavaNeckwear. Use the coupon code Tome Foolery for 15% off first time purchase with code Tome Foolery.
And by the way, I really encourage you to go to that site because it's actually a beautiful website with, you know, it's really
the ties are
cool.
Fantastic. The bow ties and the neckties are super, they're just really ornate and intricate and beautiful. Handmade silk neckties at a really like without the 15% off, it's at a very good, as a person who buys ties all the time, it's a really good price, especially for like handmade. And you can, and 15% off, that's great. You know, we all need a tie or two. Sometimes you just got to treat yourself, make yourself feel pretty. we hope you enjoyed this show and the craziness, and we hope you enjoyed, you know, getting to know me and Runjit a little bit more, just us hanging out, you know, your humble hosts. Again, as a reminder, we are switching over to Libsyn. That is in process of happening right now. I know I've been saying it, but I also wanted to give you guys a heads up more ahead of time so that you don't, anybody who's going off of the Podbean site will be aware of the switchover, because we don't want to lose anybody in that transition as best we can. If you like the show, share the show. Let people know about it. And thank you for the people who have. We've actually been having a lot of people talking to us on Twitter and on Facebook. A thank you to, I'm going to mispronounce your name, to L. Lori at LJ Lori for a shout out on Twitter. Also, Johnny Barnstorm. Sorry that our podcast ended up not being mom appropriate, but that's what happens when we're reading about the Punk Manifesto. So you should have really seen that one coming, dude. Thanks to Sean Meismer, as well as a guy that we've been talking to a lot on Twitter, and also to Andrew at True Andrew with two U's. So it's good times on that one. And then also a thank you to Justin Tripler and Kristen Tipping for giving us some heads up about technical issues on our episodes. We've been thank you guys like so much. We're really having a great time doing the show, and it's nice to know that people are listening.
Really nice.
It's a fun time. And so, you know, share the show. Seriously, you'd be surprised how much word of mouth really matters on podcasts. And if you enjoy listening to the show, let people you know about it, because if they're your friends, they probably also enjoy similar things that you do. And please rate and review us if you like us on iTunes. That again also lets other people find us more easily, because it puts us higher up on rankings and things like that. We are available on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on there, as well as on iTunes.com, or just iTunes, iTunes.com. And also tomefoolery.com. We'll be on Libsyn soon. You can find us on Twitter @tomefoolery, facebook.com/tomefoolery. And you know, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, put @tomefoolery up in there. Let us say hi. Let us know how you're doing. I sent out a picture from my account at Eccentric Gent to L of the child's brace, polio brace from the Manhood 101 episode with Stuart Huff, because she really wanted to see it. So, you know, let us know how you're doing. We want to know about you. We've learned about us today. We want to know about you. Special thank you to Rob and John Scallon for our theme song.
Awesome musicians there.
You can find Rob on YouTube. Also, Rob has a new CD coming out on Monday, the 17th. So right after this comes out, you can pre-order it on dftba.com. You can get it online, but you can also buy a hard copy and get a special 12th track. It's called All Dean is the album. You can get a special 12th track, which I also have been on his YouTube channel in my search for track 12 because I am a Rob Scallon collector and I desperately need that track before everybody else can hear it. So far, it has not been working out well for me on trying to get it ahead of time, even though we're friends. And you can also find us lurking in the corners of your mind. Different colors, different memories. Anyway, I, of course, have been Cody Melcher.
And I have been Runjit Sowry.
Thank you very much, Runjit.
Thank you,
Cody. It was a pleasure having you.
Pleasure. And always remember, pros before hoes.
Good night.